Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, and I'll be preaching from Revelation 15, but I also want to read a portion of Revelation chapter 4, and I'll be reading the first six verses of Revelation 4 as we begin. Keep in mind as well that in your bulletins there is an insert for an outline of this morning's message, and I encourage you to have that handy this morning as you listen to the proclamation of God's Word. But let's begin with our scripture reading in Revelation chapter 4, the first six verses, and then we'll be reading all of Revelation 15. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald circled the throne. And surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. And before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. And then if you'll turn with me to Revelation chapter 15, and I'll be reading the verses 1 through 8. Revelation 15. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this I looked, and in heaven the temple, that is, the tabernacle of testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and his power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in Revelation 4 and Revelation chapter 15. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to be there at the first Exodus? To see the plagues of God falling upon the Egyptians? To hear the cry of the Egyptian people when the angel of death on the 10th plague took their firstborn sons? To experience the grace of God as an Israelite, as your son or oldest brother was spared by the blood of the Lamb sprinkled on the doorpost. To experience leaving the land where for 450 years your people had served as slaves to Pharaoh, only to be pursued by Pharaoh and his army and to stand between his army and the Red Sea. And then to watch as Moses, your leader, raised his hands, and the seas split apart, and you walked through in on dry ground as Pharaoh and his army perished. And then to sing the victory song of God, the song of Moses, that the horse and the rider had perished in the sea. Did you know that the book of Revelation tells us that you were there? Do you know that the book of Revelation tells us that you have experienced that in an even greater way than the Old Testament saints once knew? One of the things about our text this morning that stands out is that it is filled with Exodus imagery. You notice in verse 1 of Revelation 15 that the seven plagues are mentioned. Seven angels with seven last plagues mentioned in verse 1. You notice in verse 3 that the song of Moses is mentioned. Moses, the servant of God, who led the people in the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. You notice in verse 2 that what is pictured is the redeemed people of God having been saved by the blood of a Passover lamb standing near the sea of glass singing the song of Moses and the song of their lamb. This is the picture of Exodus imagery. It draws us back. It draws our thoughts back to what has taken place at the Exodus and how that Exodus applies even to the redeemed saints of God in the church today. You remember what happened in the land of Egypt? The covenant people of God raised up as a nation in the land. Pharaoh and the Egyptians claiming their authority over them, putting them into slavery, forcing them to build his building projects and to serve him and not the God whom they served and loved. God sending his servants, Moses and Aaron, to speak his word to Pharaoh and demand that he let God's people go, and Pharaoh refusing. God sending the 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt and upon the Egyptians, the 10th plague, his angel of death going throughout the land, killing the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn sons, and the angel passing over the homes of the Israelites because of the blood of the Passover lamb, and Pharaoh finally declaring that God's people may go. After Egypt, of course, Pharaoh changes his mind. He comes and chases the Israelites with his chariots and horsemen. The Israelites walk through on dry ground, and the seas come down once again, and Pharaoh and his army, who had followed them into the sea, were drowned and perished. There on the other side of the sea, the redeemed people of God sang the song of Moses, Exodus 15, the song of the deliverance of God's people and the judgment upon God's enemies and the enemies of his people. As we now come to the book of Revelation, and Revelation 15 draws us into this Exodus imagery, we are reminded of what has been set before us in the previous vision. You remember what was described in chapters 12 through 14. The picture given of God's Son, Jesus Christ, coming to earth and dying on the cross. Satan being cast down from heaven as Jesus has now ascended to the right hand of God. And now the focus of Satan's attacks, no longer upon the Savior who has conquered him, but upon the children of the Savior, his church, his offspring that yet serve him here upon the earth. Satan brings about his attack, according to chapters 13 and 14, through the powers of this world, through the oppressions of this world, through standing behind the beast of the sea and the beast of the earth. The beast of the sea representing the kingdoms of this world that demand loyalty and worship unto them, and the emperors and the dictators who demand the people serve them and worship them. The beast of the earth representing the propaganda used and the deception used and the false teaching and signs which would draw the people into worshiping the beast of the sea and draw the people into serving man and man's kingdom. That's the number given at the end of chapter 13. Man's number, the number 666. By the time the second angel speaks in Revelation 14, verse 8, he is called Babylon the Great. This city of man, which draws the peoples of the world to worship the kingdom of man through all its passions, through all its temptations. The third angel follows up in verse 9, saying, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on their forehead or in the hand, he too will drink the cup of God's wine, the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. Do you see how this world we live in is a land of slavery? Do you see how the culture around you seeks to enslave you to worship man, to tempt you with its passions and desires, to turn away from God, and to serve the things and the desires of this world? As we come to Revelation 15, as the Exodus imagery is put before us, we are told in the very first verse that God is going to send plagues. Plagues. They had plagues in Egypt when the people of God were demanded to serve Pharaoh, when they were demanded to worship Pharaoh as the Egyptians did. When Pharaoh refused to let them go, having oppressed them and enslaved them, God sent plagues. Now in Revelation 15, as John looks into heaven, he sees a great and marvelous sign, and he tells us that plagues are coming and have come. Plagues from God. Plagues like were sent upon the Egyptians. Now, someone might say, I'd like to see some of those Egyptian plagues. I'd like to see water turn to blood. I'd like to see the plague of the frogs or the locusts or the plague of darkness come upon the land or the large hailstones that fell upon the Egyptians. All those plagues which God sent upon their land to demonstrate that the false gods that they worshipped were not true and were fake, and they should not worship them at all. Yet now, as we come to the book of Revelation, you can look around and see the plagues of God, the warning plagues of God, being sounded upon the earth, and the plagues of God that are still to come. We saw the power of an earthquake last week in Haiti. We see the power of the tsunamis, the power of the destruction of God as it comes upon the peoples of the earth, the wrath of God being revealed against mankind. We see the plagues of God in terms of the sickness that has fallen upon man, in terms of the dictators that have risen and fallen throughout church history and throughout the history of the world, through the deceptive ways that the peoples of the world seek to have other nations and other people and Christians serve them and not the true God. God is sending His plagues. God is sending His wrath upon the peoples of the world. But before the author of Revelation tells us more details about those plagues in Revelation 16, he brings our attention, verse 2, into heaven. He brings our attention to the redeemed. He brings our attention to the place of God's presence where God's people are. Notice verse 2 tells us that when John looked into heaven, he saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire. A moment ago, I read to you from the scripture reading in Revelation 4. In Revelation 4, verse 6, we are told that before the throne of God, before His presence in heaven, there is what looked like a sea of glass as clear as crystal. The sea of glass, the sea of crystal, demonstrating that this is the presence of the true God. God who is on His throne, Revelation 4, before His throne is the sea of glass. And the picture that is given in Revelation 4 is now picked up again in Revelation chapter 15. But now in Revelation 15, the sea of glass is described as a place that is mixed with fire. The fire representing the holiness and the judgment of God. The fire giving the sea a red color, like the Red Sea. And standing next to that sea of glass, that sea of crystal mixed with fire, standing beside the sea are those, we're told, who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. In Revelation chapter 14, we are told specifically in that chapter, especially in verse 9, about those who worship the beast and his image and who have the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. These are the peoples of the world that have fallen into the deception of worshiping the beast and of serving the beast. Those who see and fall into the deception of thinking that the beast is real, that the beast is powerful, that they've given themselves over in terms of their livelihood, in terms of their passions, into following that beast and serving the things of this world instead of the true God of heaven. And in Revelation 14, we are told that those who do that will suffer what? Verse 10. He too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of His wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. Isn't that where the sea is in Revelation 14? It is in the presence of God. It is in the presence of the Lamb. It is in the presence of His holy angels. And there before God is the judgment sea of torment and burning sulfur in the presence of God. Look also at verse 11, Revelation 14. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in His image, or for anyone who receives the mark of His name. Pictured for us in Revelation 15, verse 2, is the picture of the redemption of God's people. The people of God who are there now in the presence of God. They are before His face. They are before His sea, next to His sea, singing the song of victory. And just as the Israelites sang the song of victory in Exodus chapter 15, we're told that God provides the redeemed, verse 2, harps. And together, verse 3, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, they are singing. They have not served the beast. They have not given in to the temptations of the world. But they have served the true Lamb of God. And as they have served the true Lamb of God, they now find themselves in the presence of God in heaven, singing this glorious sign of the song of deliverance. The harps mentioned in verse 2, the song mentioned in verse 3, are also mentioned in Revelation 14, the first part of that chapter. There in verse 1, John looks and sees the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and the 144,000 are there with him, with the Father's name on their foreheads. And in verse 2, the end of that verse, John tells us that he heard the sound of harpists playing their harps, and they sang the new song before the throne and the four living creatures and the elders. And now in Revelation 15, we're told who sings the song, and we are told the words of that song. This is the song of the salvation of God's people. This is the song that of those who have been victorious. All throughout Revelation chapter 13 and 14, we are reminded of Satan's attacks in this world upon the people of God. And God's people are repeatedly reminded to have faith, to patiently endure, to obey God's commands and remain faithful to Him. And as the attacks strengthen, as the temptations surround them, and they are tempted to give in, Revelation 15 draws us into their victory. For in their victory, like the Israel of old, they sing of the deliverance of God. They sing of the salvation given to them through God's Son, Jesus Christ. They sing together in the presence of God the glorious picture of His victory. And they stand next to the sea, where those who serve the beast and followed His image and those who are marked with the number of His name have perished and been separated from them and from God's people in heaven. We see in this glorious picture the New Testament salvation of God. Do you see how this is laying out for us the greater exodus of the Old Testament? Egypt? You are surrounded by a world that does not worship the true God. You live in a world surrounded by people who want you to serve the gods of this world and the institutions and leaders of this world. You live in a place like Egypt, where surrounded by the pressures and temptations of this world, everything around you wants you to turn and worship the beast and his falsehood. The plagues? God is sending them. And there's more, as we'll read in chapter 16, that are coming. The wrath of God pointing out to the world around you who the true God is, and how the false gods of whom this world serves and worships are false and not true. The Passover lamb, God sent His Son Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to die on the cross for you. God's wrath has passed over you. You are saved and belong to Him. The pursuit of Pharaoh and his army for God's people. Think how hard the world around you tries to pull you back into that slavery. We were reminded in the previous chapters that Satan's attack is now upon the offspring. They're saved. They've been delivered by the Lamb. But he continues to oppress. He continues to tempt. He continues to persecute so that God's people would turn back and follow him. The crossing of the sea. Revelation 15 points you to the fact that you have crossed that sea. That even now you are in the presence of God, victorious in Jesus Christ over the beast. That those who serve and worship the beast are not in that place. They don't know the Lamb. They cannot pass through the waters. But Revelation 15 pictures for us where you are now and where you will someday be forevermore, singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb in the presence of God forevermore. God has given you the privilege right here in this place of worship to sing songs and hymns of the Lamb and His victory, and sing of the glorious salvation before His throne. Someday, you sing that song forever in God's presence. The next Lord's Day, we're going to look at the structure and the content of this song. That's part two of this morning's message. But for now, think of yourself beside the sea of crystal. Think of yourself singing with the saints of God, joining in the salvation that God has given you in praise to His name. The words of our final hymn go like this: by the sea of crystal, where saints in glory stand, myriads in number, drawn from every land, robed in white apparel, washed in Jesus' blood, they now reign in heaven with the Lamb of God. May this be the song of your heart as you worship and serve our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we rejoice this morning in the picture that has been given to us here of Revelation 15. For we are reminded that the Old Testament images of your people in slavery in Egypt are very real for us even today. For we are surrounded by a world which does not love you. We are surrounded by a world where Satan has his cohorts who seek to deceive us and enable us to serve them, and in serving them, we serve Him. Father, grant us your grace as your people to always rejoice in the blood of the Lamb, that we may think first of all of our standing before you, that we may think first of all and be reminded that we are sinners and in need of your grace, that, Lord, we may rejoice and sing in this salvation. And Father, as we think of the sea, as we think of your presence, and we see here the redeemed in your presence singing this joyful song, may we too, Lord, sing this song. May we know our salvation. May we rejoice about being in your presence now and forevermore. Grant us the grace to persevere. Grant us the grace to keep our thoughts and eyes upon you and to leave this sinful world and the slavery it has put upon us behind and rejoice in you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.